Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 270 of Bad Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick. He's Justin. Oh, my Lord. It's been a while since we did this. Or has it?
I don't remember anymore. Since we've recorded, it's been a couple weeks, but we've had a couple episodes come out.
That's true. I hope y'all enjoy those episodes because they take a lot of time and effort to do. So go ahead and go back and listen to our grading episodes if you like them. And if you don't, well, then don't.
Yeah, we'll be recording the offensive side of the gradings sometime later this week. So those episodes will be coming to you sometime before Christmas. So watch for those.
Yep. So that's going to be awesome. And if you think that we're awesome, then follow us on all social media platforms. It's Bad Flips and Maple Dips.
We're only on Twitter.
I know, but I don't even want to acknowledge it anymore. I just say, like, just you can Google us and you'll find us.
Yeah, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get right into it. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Ben Wagner. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame ballot. We're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani, best player I've ever seen play in my life. And then we're going to talk about Bo Bichette. And I guess we're trading Bo Bichette. I don't know. These rumors are silly. But it's silly season, so we might as well just embrace it and let Jesus take the wheel. And let's get right into it, though. Justin, tell me about what's going on with Ben Wagner, because this is probably the most infuriating news to come out of Sportsnet in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yesterday it was announced, Sportsnet just released a little image on Twitter saying, after six seasons as the voice of our baseball radio broadcasts, Sportsnet has decided not to renew Ben Wagner's contract for next season. Thank you, Ben, for sharing your voice and expertise with listeners across Canada. We wish you the very best. So it seems like they didn't even negotiate a contract. They just said, like, you know, we're not doing it. It leaves me very curious as to what the future of Blue Jays radio broadcast is going to be. The Jays had already put radio on the back burner. Like, Ben wasn't even going on the road for the majority of the season to call games. He was calling games from Toronto off of a freaking television screen in the studio, like it was still COVID times. So they've just shown a blatant kind of disregard for radio broadcasts anyway, even though every other baseball team still sends their radio people on the road. He hasn't had a permanent co-host for two seasons now. I hope Ben lands a job somewhere else, because this is probably actually would be like one of the better things to ever happen to him. Like later on in his life, he'll look back on it and be like, thank God I was able to stop working for that shit company, after how they've treated him. So yeah, we wish Ben the best. Obviously, like, I'm a fan of his. I like listening to the radio broadcasts in the summertime. I always have it on when I'm going to umpire baseball in the locker room and in my car on the way to games. Like, I used it quite a bit, and I'm sad that it's not going to be his voice anymore.
It's a mistake.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to say except it's a terrible mistake, one that can't be undone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened was Sportsnet and Rogers or whoever probably looked at the numbers from pre-COVID, COVID, and then a little bit after COVID, even though COVID still exists. We'll just say that 2023 was, like, for the most part, a return to, quote, normalcy after the worst years of the pandemic. And they probably saw that people weren't listening to the radio anymore, or they could just listen to the broadcast instead. And they probably decided, yeah, we're cutting it. I think they're probably going to cut the radio. I don't know who else are they going to put on it?
I don't know. This announcement, I think, is just paving the way for even more outrage. they're starting us with the small outrage before they get to the big outrage. But
which is either going to be trading what? Trading Bo Bichette or
no? I think just completely. I think axing so. The radio okay. broadcast. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The, no. No. Absolutely.
That's the bigger outrage.
That's what's. But, I'm telling you. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. This is what they're doing.
Probably. But yeah. Let's move on to the Hall of Fame ballot. Something happier. One of our favorite times of the year is when the 2024 Hall of Fame ballot has been released. For those of you who want to follow along with the tracker, if you go to @notMrTibbs with two B's on Twitter, he's the main guy there that has started that ballot tracker many years ago now. You can also follow Shut the Door, TonyCal93, and JM DeVivo. Those are part of the tracker team. They will be posting and updating the spreadsheet as people reveal their ballots. So that'll start happening over the next month, because I believe ballots have to be handed in by the end of the year. Is that usually around the
there
cutoff date,
are so. Already ballots coming through. There are yep. three public ballots and two anonymous ballots, which is only 1.3% of total ballots. So
long way to go, but it'll
there's less than 500. A long way to go. Weeks.
Yeah,
it's not even really worth looking at what the numbers no. right now, because it's five. So
yeah, in December is where it pops off. It'll start over the next few weeks. The ballots will start being revealed.
You know so. Me. You know much how much I love this. You know how much I care about the Hall of Fame and how much I despise the BBWAA or whatever it is. Jesus, just the level of incompetence. The only thing they got right was shutting out the Roy Users and then
getting Lonnie Walker in.
One really well-known asshole, and that's pretty much. The end of the nice things I have to say. Let's talk about it though. I love this ballot. A lot of interesting names, a lot of first timers, a lot of guys who have been waiting a long time, a lot of guys whose percentages have been going up dramatically.
Yep.
We're doing a lightning round here, so get ready, Justin. I'm gonna throw a name at you. You say yes or no, and if you feel compelled, add. Tell me why. Tell me why.
Nothing but a heart.
Yeah, let's talk about Bobby Abreu. Yes or no?
Love him, but no.
No.
Hall of very good.
Yep. Jose Bautista.
Yes, and with the reason being the 2-1 from Dyson, a swing and a drive, deep left field.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Jose, yes. The thing with Jose, the thing that holds me back from saying like full send for a yes is that the longevity of the success isn't quite there.
Yeah, this is my homer pick for the year.
Yeah, there's about 6 years where Jose was absolutely dominant. Mm-hmm. You could argue maybe seven, but...
One of the greatest Jays of all time, but...
Top three.
Not... I don't know if I'd go that far. For
fielders, for players who played on the field. Okay, like sure. Non-pitchers.
Sure.
Non-pitchers.
Okay, sure. Then, yeah, this is my homer pick. He won't get in. He'll probably fall off the ballot after 1 year. But
no, he won't. He won't fall off the ballot.
I think he will. But
no.
Very good player, not a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Carlos Beltran.
This one's tough.
No.
If it weren't for the Astros scandal, it would be a yes for me. That happened after he was a player. This year I'm voting no. It might change.
I also vote no. In the long term, though, I don't think they'll keep him out. I think eventually he gets in through the Veterans Committee, worst case scenario.
I think he'll get in via the writers. I think.
Maybe.
I think people will be able to look past the other stuff eventually.
Maybe.
But I do think it won't happen for... Oh, a few years. I mean, he meets some of the Hall of Fame metrics that Baseball Reference does. He's very close to the average career Hall of Famer for center field and everything. So
how is he defensively? If you were to rank him all time for center fielders.
Defensively? I don't even know. Like, he was really good. Like, I remember watching him when he was younger and he was incredible. But then didn't play center field for his whole career, so I've got a hard time.
I'm just gonna look at to see if his stats pass the eyeball test. Because this is actually one of the few that
he didn't play center field after 2012 at all. So, I mean, it's...
His slash line is very close. His... the fact that he has 435 home runs and 312 stolen bases.
Yeah, like he has the stats.
There are not very many players that have that many home runs and that many steals.
Never. He won a Gold Glove in 06, 07,
what 08. Has he won then?
06, 07, 08, he won Gold Gloves.
Yeah, he's but what?
All-star a bunch of times.
Did he win Silver Sluggers?
Yes, two. He did. Yeah,
9-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove.
It was Rookie of the year. Yeah.
We won't talk about the World Series championship. 435 home runs. 1,587 RBI. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he gets in.
I think
in,
he gets
but
in eventually,
right,
but I think it won't be maybe year four, year five, just because people will let it stew for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But
his
yeah.
career isolated power metric is 207, which is
very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. OPS
minimum,
plus of
very
119.
Good.
So.
Moving on, yep. Adrian Beltre.
Yes, 100%. Easiest yes on this
ballot. If Adrian Beltre does not get 97 or more percent of the votes, then the system is broken.
Yeah, probably top three defensive third baseman of all time, and also an incredible batter as well too. So.
Adrian Beltre is the type of player, like, even though he played on the team that we were supposed to dislike for for like a good chunk of time.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, 34 years old, led the league with 199 hits. Mm-hmm. He, yeah, 286 lifetime batting average, 116 OPS plus, exact same OPS plus as Beltran. Platinum glove winner.
He has 3,000 hits, 477 home runs, 121 swipes, 1,700 RBIs.
Yeah.
His average is higher than Carlos Beltran, but his OBP, I think, is a little under, but his slug, I think,
yeah,
might
OPS
be...
and OPS plus virtually identical to Beltran's, so...
But you have to, if you look at...
You have
at
to factor in his
that,
defensive value, too, yeah.
If you look at offense, like... Defensively, so 4-time All-Star, which is less than Carlos.
Yep.
4-time Silver Slugger, which is more, isn't it? 2-time Platinum yep. Glove, 5-time Gold Glove. Yeah, he's if he doesn't yep. get 97 or more percent
well,
of the vote, something
93
happens.
Career B-War, and 27 of that is offensive, so or defensive,
excuse me. That's insane.
He was a positive value defender at age 39, barely,
yep.
but still positive. So.
it's probably he's top three best... I'd say he's top five best third baseman of all time.
Agreed.
He's not Mike Schmidt, but he's...
That's easy Hall of Fame. So
easy Hall of Fame, yeah. Mark Burley.
Man, I love Mark. I'm saying no. But I'm happy he didn't fall off the ballot his first year.
It's going to be Veterans Committee for him, I think. But I
Maybe.
Think he does get in eventually.
I hope so.
He has two... His stats do... We don't have to get into everybody, but he does pass the eyeball test mostly, but he also has benchmark things that have happened in his career that
yeah.
I think put him above and beyond. Big Sexy, Bartolo Colon.
No. Hall of Very Good.
Yep. Adrian Gonzalez.
No.
Hall of Very Good. Todd Helton.
I'm going to say yes for Todd Helton.
Yep, me too. That's easy. Matt Holliday.
Not no. this year, but no. maybe next year.
No. I'm going to say no. Torrey Hunter.
No, Hall of Very Good.
Yep, Andrew Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, he should be in by now. It's kind of weird that he's not.
It's because the Hall of Fame committee doesn't put as much value on defense as they should.
Stupid. But anyway,
Andrew Jones
may
be the best defensive center fielder ever. So
yeah, exactly. So Andrew Jones, yes. Victor Martinez. This is a tough one.
This one is tough. I like V-Mart. I just don't think. I mean, didn't hit 250 home runs. It was basically mainly a DH his last. Handful of
no.
seasons. He's a no for me.
Hall of
very, very good, but he's a no. 7 career stolen bases. That's pretty elite.
Joe Mauer.
Well played, Mauer. And I'm gonna give him a yes. I love Joe Mauer. Grew up watching this guy. I think that him and Morneau were like such an underrated 1-2 punch in Minneapolis. It was a shame he didn't play more than his full career as a catcher, but won an MVP as a catcher. Hit 365 that year, Patrick, as a catcher with a 1.031 OPS, 2009. Five silver sluggers, excuse me. Three gold gloves.
Three batting titles.
Six-time All-Star. Three batting titles as a catcher. I'm going to say yes for Mauer. I don't know that he will get in, but I mean, if you look at his career metrics and how they stack up against other Hall of Famers, he is better than the average Hall of Fame catcher. He's 7th out of 16.
Yeah, you can't just look at him in a vacuum. So, you have to consider the fact that he was a catcher.
I mean, he's better than nine catchers that are in the Hall of or eight. He's better than eight catchers that are in the Hall of Fame or nine that are in there.
How many guys do you know who have three batting titles?
Not many. And how many of those guys are catchers? Not many. So
that's it. That's it, though. That's what I'm saying is like.
Yeah, I think he's got to be in there based on that.
Go through the list of all time winners for batting titles, and you're going to be like me. You're squinting at this list trying to figure out how many of them are catchers, and you're going to find that not very many of them are.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes for Joe.
Probably one of the best hitting catchers of all time.
Yeah.
With having a lifetime 306 average and 6,000, almost 7,000 at bats.
Yeah, hit 282 in his last year. He retired at 35. He probably could have kept playing, but he decided to, you know, go out while he still MVP. Had legs.
So. Yeah. I just don't think there's really very many catchers who can touch him.
Yeah, yeah. I think the street cred as like an all around good guy. I've never heard anything bad about Joe Mauer will also help him too. So yeah, yes for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what players have three or more batting titles, and I know Ty Cobb has won more batting titles than anybody else, but I'm struggling to figure out quantity, which players have the most titles,
right.
And. There's,
I mean, Tony Gwynn has a few.
He's won 8 batting titles. Anyway, we can move on from this because it's really like,
yeah.
If the fact that I'm struggling is hard to find.
The conversation is
it's
short, and the list of catchers with 3 batting titles might not be more than one. So
yeah. So, Andy Pettit. This is interesting. I'm very interested in your comment because I have thoughts, and I just want to.
So for me, if Andy Pettit wasn't a Yankee, I might say yes. But it's a no for me. He doesn't come close to the other pitchers who are in the Hall of Fame. So no, it's actually a pretty easy no for me.
Yeah, I am a pretty straightforward no. Career 3.85 ERA. There are guys who have better ERAs that are already off the ballot. 3,000 innings pitched is incredible. The man just 8 innings. 1.351 whip is not really that impressive.
No.
He has one individual trophy to his name, which is ALCS MVP. Don't ask me what year that was because I'm not going to be able to tell you. He is a 3-time All-Star, which is not bad, and a 5-time World Series champion, but he's not the reason that any of those 5 World Series were winners. Pretty consistent player. He had a
It was 2001, the AL MVP.
Yeah, I mean,
ALCS MVP.
He was a very steady hand in both Houston and the Yankees.
Yes,
on his second
steady
term.
Doesn't get you to the Hall of Fame, though.
It does not. I would take Mark Burley over Andy Pettit. That's just me. I'm weird, though. Brandon Phillips.
No.
Hala, very good. Manny Ramirez.
No.
Why is that?
Cheated.
Okay. Jose Reyes.
Definitely not.
Let's move on. Alex Rodriguez.
No, cheated. Missed the whole, suspended for a whole season. Yep. No, thank you.
Francisco Rodriguez, a.k.a. K-Rod.
I know you like K-Rod. Don't, I like K-Rod,
no,
too.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Just go into...
No, not this year. I want to see Billy Wagner get in before I start focusing on any other relief pitchers. So, no.
Okay, let's dial it back. Do you think that he'll get in within the 15 years?
It's 10 years only on the ballot, Patrick.
Is our 10 years, sorry. Yeah.
It depends on who else comes onto the ballot during his time on the ballot. If I had to guess, I would say no.
I'm going to say he's going to get in, but it's going to be very close to the end. Or Veterans Committee.
I mean,
because it's hard.
He's...
He got 10.8% in his first year, which is...
Yeah, there are only 8 relief pitchers in the Hall of Fame, and he's worse than the average by a lot, according to BREF. So,
yeah. So,
I'm saying no.
I'm going to say he will by Veterans Committee.
Okay. Use a lot Jimmy of, Rollins. You got a lot of Veterans Committee, guys. I'm saying no for Jimmy.
Yeah. Hala, very good. Gary Sheffield.
This is his last year on the ballot. What did he get last year? I can't remember.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, if you can find that for me, because I want to just know what it was.
The chef. This is his last year. Last year he got 55.
Yeah.
And that was up from 40.6.
So he's not going to make
it. And the year before that was 40.6.
I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame, and he's not going to make it because nobody really gains 20% in a year. So
it's weird to say because on paper, 9-time All-Star, 97 World Series, 5-time Silver Slugger batting title,
also
Major League Player
cheating,
of the
though,
Year.
So.
Yep.
And, yeah. I mean, still averages below other average Hall of Fame right fielders. So,
was he no in the Mitchell report?
I think so. I can't remember, but he was definitely implicated
in
something.
I'm looking now. Yep, he was named in the Mitchell report.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, he's a no. James Shields.
It's funny when these guys get on the ballot, like James Shields and like Jose Reyes. Just no.
No. Chase Utley. And this is I'm interested.
Man, in Chase Utley. This is like an interesting one because hard-nosed guy, known for his time in Philly, the slide in LA.
He's going to be remembered for that.
He's going to be remembered for that. He's close for me. His 7-year peak is above the average second baseman. He actually would rank 12th, and there are 20 in there right now. So he does somewhat meet the metrics. But I think for him, it would be like a year 7 or year 8 thing. I don't see him getting in quickly. I'm going to say no for this year. But he's a guy that I could be persuaded to vote for next time. And I'm a small hall guy, so like I'm not voting for a full 10 if there's not a full 10 who are deserving, you know? Every year.
I want to backtrack for a second. Gary Sheffield was implicated in the Balco scandal, the Mitchell report. However, he's in the Mitchell report, but it's the Balco scandal. Anyway, yeah. Chase Utley is a no for me.
No, yeah, I think he could get in like year 5, year 6, year 7, somewhere in there.
He won't.
But it depends on who else comes onto the ballot at second base, especially. But.
He won't. He won't. You're wrong. Omar Vizquel.
No.
No. Billy Wagner. I'm ready. My gloves are off. I'm ready to punch you through the screen.
No, I believe last few years, I think I've quote unquote voted for Billy Wagner as well. I think he deserves to be in.
We've been on Wagner watch since,
We were on Wagner and Walker watch since we started this podcast. Thankfully, Walker watch paid off in his last year, but
well, let's look.
Got a couple years left.
Let's look at the numbers when it comes to Billy Wagner. This is his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is his 9th year on the ballot.
Yeah, he's got this year and next year. I mean, numbers are a little bit better over the career than K-Rod. Still below average Hall of Fame right relief pitchers. But But WAR is tough with relief pitchers, especially for closers. I think Billy Wagner's a better pitcher than K-Rod.
Yes.
So I want to see him get in first, and he only has this year and next year left. I think Billy Wagner gets in this year. That's my prediction.
He's at 68%.
So he's really close. Yeah. And really the only new people who are guaranteed votes, probably Beltre and maybe Maurer, you know, who are like going to get a lot of like votes in their first year. Maybe Matt Holliday too might get some, but those are the only three newcomers who are like above 40% guaranteed.
This is tough because individual accolades don't come to relievers.
Very true.
And he doesn't have any except for that 1999 Rolaids reliever of the year, which isn't really.
You gotta love Rolaids.
The whip is 0.998 career, which is, that's a check mark.
That's elite, yep.
2.31 career ERA in 903 innings. I know the innings don't even remotely approach starting pitcher, but that's the point.
Yeah.
That's not what he's there for. Career FIP of 2.73, so beating the FIP projection across his career. I mean, I'm obviously a yes because I think relievers are dramatically underrepresented.
Right.
The fact that it took the Veterans Committee to get Lee Smith into the Hall of Fame is a tragedy. I don't know how many guys with 400 saves aren't in the Hall of Fame at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean,
I'd have to look at it.
They're still active, but I think Kimbrel and Jansen have that many. But
no, they don't.
They don't have 400 yet? I thought they did.
Let me look it up. Most career saves.
Kimbrel has 417. He got there this year.
Okay, shut up. Just give me a second. Rivera's Hall of Fame. Trevor Hoffman's Hall of Fame.
Kenley Jansen has 420. He got there this year, too.
Lee Smith is in the Hall of Fame. K-Rod's on the ballot this year. John Franco isn't in the Hall of Fame. Billy Wagner is not. Kenley Jansen is still playing. Craig Kimbrel is still playing. Both those guys should pass Billy Wagner this year. Dennis Eckersley is in the Hall of Fame. The thing with Eckersley is he was a starter.
Yeah.
For half of his career and then a reliever for the other half. So his metrics are insane because he has 197 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah,
also
completely different for
he and John Smoltz are in this weird category where they did both things really, really well.
Yeah.
And Eckersley is the only reliever I can think of who won the Cy Young and the MVP in the same year.
Yeah.
Which is I don't know how you do it.
Because Eric Gagne didn't win MVP, he just won the Cy.
No.
Yeah.
So, I think once you crack 400 saves, you're in the top 10 all time.
Yeah. That's what K-Rod's got going for him, too, is that 437 in his career. So I think that may be what gets him in eventually, but I think Billy Wagner over K-Rod for me, personally.
I think Billy Wagner will get in this year.
K-Rod can.
I'd say he's a lock for
K-Rod can negotiate for my vote after this season.
What do you think the benchmark should be for number of saves?
I don't know if number of saves is like. What if you're, let's just say in the hypothetical. I know you love these. I don't, but let's just say over his full career, let's say Tim Mesa was doing what he's done the last three seasons for like 15 years. He might only have 20 career saves, but would Tim Mesa be a Hall of Famer if he did what he's done for the last 3 years over 15?
How many holds does he have?
Yeah, see, I don't know if I really care about holds either. I'm more interested in like.
Yeah, no, I get it.
The overall good numbers, right? But I mean, it's like relief pitchers are so tough because their impact on the game is large, but their participation in it is low compared to like a starter or obviously a batter.
You know? But it's the same with kickers in football.
It is. And I think
how many
that,
kickers are in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I don't really follow the Football Hall of Fame. But, yeah, it's tough for me. It's so tough to grade relievers on Hall of Fame qualifications for that reason, is just because they have so many appearances, but overall the lifetime amount of innings pitched is like a third of what a starting pitcher would be, if not less than that, you know?
So Tim Mesa is 31 years old. He would have to pitch until he's 46 and have the exact same season he had this
year. I'm just saying, what if Tim Mesa had a 15-year career of the last three seasons numbers, you know?
I mean, it's still, we're not even 1,000 innings. But again, I get your point. Like, the thing is, like, are saves important? I think they are, man.
I think
save is a very underrated stat.
I just don't know. I mean, you could be a closer who pitches, say you have a 15-year career, you'd have to average what, like 25 a year to get to 400? Just over 25 a year to get to 400? Not unheard of on even a mediocre team to get 25 saves as a closer. But yeah, it's tough. I don't know.
How
Billy's
many relievers do you know have played 10 consecutive years though, and were like,
right, exactly,
didn't lose their job?
Not many, like the Hall of Famers.
here's a good example. Okay, I'm going way back. This guy passed away in 2022. Bruce Sutter played. Bruce Sutter is in the Hall of Fame. Wow, that made my point for me. So he only has 300 saves and doesn't really have like an overwhelming, like he's won a bunch of those reliever of the year awards, but he made it into the Hall of Fame on his 13th ballot. That was back when that was a thing.
Right.
When I think it was 15 ballots, with 76.9% of the vote in 2006. Five-time NL save leader, four-time Role-A's relief man of the year. What a stupid award name. And actually did win a Cy Young. So,
yeah.
Again, only 300 saves. I don't think there's a specific number of saves you have to have, but I think it has to be at least 300 or more.
Yeah.
For you to be like, okay. Unless you also started, like, unless you're like a John Smoltz or Dennis Eckerly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. David Wright is the last name on the ballot this year. He's a no for me.
Love David Wright, but it's a no for me.
No. This is the spicy.
Let's talk about it.
I'm so excited.
Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani, Patrick.
Okay.
We knew going into the offseason that every team in baseball was at least going to call. Some of them were probably quickly told no, like probably the Kansas City Royals and maybe like the Pirates, like places that a big name player probably wouldn't want to go, just for his market exposure, marketing dollars, whatever it may be. Toronto's an attractive place for those reasons. They have dedicated fans, passionate fans, sometimes a little too passionate. Great city. Weather, climate controlled baseball stadium. You never have to play in the rain if you're at home or in the cold.
Just have to play on the shittiest turf in the league.
Yeah, they've also got a reputation the last few years for signing big free agents. They've signed a big free agent the last four winters now. Ryu, Springer, Gausman, Bassett. They've signed them. They've made trades. They've shown a willingness to make moves, which I think a lot of free agents look at and say, like, hey, like this team is a team that is trying to win now. Could I win a World Series here? For Shohei, I mean, the answer, and is there a fit for me on the team? Right now, Shohei is only going to be a DH this coming season. He can't pitch because he just had Tommy John's. But he's going to be able to hit. They say by opening day, he'll be like in a Bryce Harper situation where he's ready to play, swing the bat again, which is great for him and for the team. The Jays don't have a DH anymore. Brandon Belt's not going to be re-signed. He might retire. They also need another left-handed bat because Belt and Kevin Kiermaier are going to be gone from the Blue Jays roster. Well, most likely Kevin Kiermaier is gone. It's not a guarantee. So there's a definite roster fit for Ohtani with the Jays as well, just based on need. So he's going to get a ton of playing time. He'll play every day as a DH as long as he's able to.
Which takes away from days where they've been rotating out George Springer or Bo Bichette or Vladdy. So
yes.
I honestly think they should throw money at Shohei Ohtani? Absolutely. I think every team should. And if you're not, you're insane. Yeah. Do I think he'll sign knowing that his place is tenuous as a DH? Like,
I don't think it's tenuous at all.
he's not really a fit, though. It forces them to have – they're going to have an extra first baseman then because
– they have Spencer Horwitz, yeah.
You can't play every – he can't – he's not going to play 162 games.
Well, we've seen a lot of video from Vladdy hitting the gym this offseason, so maybe he's getting ready to play every day.
Yep. The real question that I have about the Shohei Ohtani thing is there's two questions. The first is, who did he go to high school with? Do we know anybody that Shohei Ohtani went to high school
with? We know a current Blue Jay who Shohei Ohtani went to high school with. The man's name is Yusei Kikuchi.
Okay, and what did Shohei Ohtani say about Yusei Kikuchi?
I don't even know, Patrick. Can you tell me?
Ohtani, back in 2019, said he admired Yusei Kikuchi.
Wow.
Go ahead and ask me what number Yusei Kikuchi wore in high school.
What number did Yusei Kikuchi wear in
17.
High school?
17. Do you want to know what Shohei Ohtani wore in high school?
I'd love to.
17.
Wow.
You want to know what my number is when I played baseball?
No.
17. I'm just saying, it's kismet.
It's all connected.
It makes, I mean... On paper, it Toronto has a lot going for it that I think is unique. I think that Toronto is a cultural melting pot, the same way that it's been, said with folksy wisdom for many decades.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to like talking about Canada as a cultural melting pot, but I think Toronto is probably pretty strong representation of that. Compared to other cities, maybe not as strong as like LA, but and Ohtani's been in LA for a while playing with the Angels.
Yeah,
he knows the city. He's probably
comfortable
with there. And if he signs with the Dodgers, you know that you're signing to a team that's likely to contend, although they appear to be at least somewhat on the decline in the last last season. They kind of died off. They also had to deal with the fact that one of the guys they were probably going to lean on as a starting pitcher was arrested. We don't have to get into that, but that's a 27-year-old. Actually, there's two. Sorry.
Yep.
Two of them have been arrested for it. So, and I mean, they got rid of one guy. Both of them really are gone now. But that's a hit to them. I don't think Clayton Kershaw is as good as he used to be.
The Dodgers didn't make any big moves last winter because they were rumored to be saving all their dinero for this offseason to buy Shohei Ohtani. So
the Dodgers are the favorite. There's no denying the Dodgers are the favorite.
Yeah,
the
I think Jays that's very true.
I think right now the rumor and innuendo is that the Jays are probably the second team. The Cubs made their offer, and he's still a free agent, so it sounds like the Cub offer didn't pan out. Again, I don't have any info that anyone else has.
Don't fully know that, yeah.
Toronto is kind of a sexy pick, but at the same time,
it leads to bigger questions too.
The bigger questions are they going to extend Kirk? Are they going to extend Vladdy? Are they going to extend Bo? Where's all this money going to come from? This is a rich team. And yes, they just had 60 something million come off the books, but next year the ball goes to third base. Who's picking it up?
Yeah. They're still rumored to be one of the front runners for Chapman too, but. Yeah, we're not so high on that, but I mean, there's limited options available if they're not going to let the young kids take it over.
If they sign Ohtani, I guarantee you that the starting third baseman next year is going to be somebody within the system.
Or it's Matt Chapman.
95% sure that it's going to be whoever they have within the system.
Sure.
Because I think they'll look at it as we just spent this X amount of dollars on a starting pitcher and a DH.
But you could also look at it as we just spent this money on Shohei Ohtani. Now we need to win. You know, they could like look what the Mets tried to do last winter. They tried to buy everybody. It obviously didn't work out for them because they had an abysmal season and they traded.
Well, they lost the whole thing that connected it all together was their unbeatable reliever, and their unbeatable reliever got hurt and was gone for the year.
Definitely, it was a big loss for them. But I mean, at the same time, their offense was worse. Their rest of their pitching staff was dog water. It just like it doesn't matter. Like they were brutal. Whereas the Jays already have a top five rotation without Shohei Ohtani even pitching, and they have the building blocks for a good offense. They just need Ohtani, frankly, and they need another couple of boppers in this lineup.
Do you think Shohei Ohtani is the difference between this the team last year and a world championship?
He very well could be, yes. And I think the benefit also, Patrick, of signing a big name free agent, everyone's kind of waiting to see what Shohei's going to do on the offensive side, right? We've had some pitchers signed so far. Sonny Gray signed. Kyle Gibson signed. They both went to St. Louis. And who else signed? Somebody else signed the other day, too. I can't remember. But, oh, yeah, Aaron Nola re-signed with Philly. But the hitting market hasn't really took off yet. I think everyone's kind of waiting for Shohei because there might be a lot of players, Patrick, who are looking to see where Shohei signs, and they may try to follow. I'm not saying that's a certainty, but you have to consider that Shohei's going to sign with a good team. It's going to be the Jays or the Dodgers, most likely. If the Cubs made a good offer, they've got a good young team. Like they had a really good year. Their rebuild is ahead of a lot of years ahead of where we thought it was going to be. So a lot of players are probably waiting for him to sign because they want to see where he's going so that they can try to follow. It's the whole like LeBron James thing, right? You want to build the super team. So you wait to see where the big name signs and then you try to latch on and ride some coattails. Obviously, there's some guys who wouldn't be riding coattails, like say a Bellinger type guy. But I mean, he's probably not going to, the team that signs Ohtani probably won't be able to afford Bellinger.
Yeah.
But it's the principle of the thing, like all the B-listers, like the second tier of free agents who are below the top guys who are still very good players, they're still all-star caliber or like silver slugger caliber, like the Teoscars and the Gurriels, for example. They're probably waiting to see where the big name signs so that they can either try to follow or they can use whatever dollar amount he gets as some leverage too. So, yeah, that's my take on it. The Jays have a shot. I think the Dodgers, yeah, I think you're right. The Dodgers have to be like 80-20 favorites at this point, if not higher. But the Blue Jays' chance, the fact that they are still in it, they're down, like they're in the final few teams now, it says that they're serious about it, you know? And
it begs a lot of other questions that have me concerned about, like, I get it. Like,
yeah, but I think, too, you have to think of it this way, right? They don't get Ohtani. I bet you they go and get Bellinger. He's another big left-handed bat. And they know they need it. They need the offensive production after this past season. And I think the fact that they're in on this guy means they're going to be in on the next guy, too. So,
if the Jays signed Bellinger and Ohtani, I don't see how they aren't the favorites for the World Series.
Yeah, I still have concerns about the longevity and the depth of the starting pitching. I don't expect everyone to stay healthy like they did last season again. It's tough.
I don't think they'll even need it, though. They'll just need pitching, starting pitching depth.
The good news for the starting pitchers is that they didn't pitch many innings in the postseason, if any. So they weren't pitching 230 innings. They were just pitching right around 200.
Let's just say they did sign Ohtani.
Yeah.
So 2024, Manoah's there. And if Manoah has like an epic comeback season.
Kikuchi's a free agent after next year.
Oh,
after 2024.
That's delicious. But then would you consider re-signing Kikuchi?
I think it really depends on Manoah and what happens to him. The Jays are apparently listening to trade talks for him too. Obviously his value is pretty low, but he still has a lot of team control. So that's where you have leverage. A little bit.
anything short of like two top 10 prospects, I would just say no to.
It's hard to quantify what his value is now just based on how shit he was last
year. I wouldn't trade him now. I would wait until this season is over.
I think you can wait. You could even do it mid-season. Let's say you're in a position at the trade deadline where you just need another offensive piece and Manoah is your fifth starter and your other four guys are still rolling or at least healthy. You might be able to move him or even a Kikuchi to a contender
In that final remaining slot in the bullpen, if there is one, you need a swing man.
Yeah, there's obviously lots of moves to be done still, but yeah, Ohtani gives you like an A grade on your offseason, no matter what else you do. Best player in baseball right now.
Best player in the last 100 years.
Yeah, could it end up being known as the best player ever, depending on. And again, I said this off mic in our chat this week. It really all hinges on how confident these teams are that Shohei can return to the mound in 2025 and be as effective as he has been. And also, how long does Shohei Ohtani want to pitch? You know, like it's a lot of strain on. Obviously, he's been hurt. This was his second Tommy John surgery. He's a very good hitter. The problem is he doesn't play in the field. Yeah, and like you could say, oh, could you teach him to play first base? But the Jays already have a first baseman. Bryce Harper learned first base, so he could come back.
Can we talk about the number of parody accounts that are coming out of the woodwork?
And just posting random shit, yeah.
Where it's some variation of Jeff Passan's
name and his photo.
Jeff Pissan, breaking from Jeff_Pissan, two-way superstar Shohei Ohtani, 12 years with the Cubs, north of 57 million. Most phenomenal talent in the 21st century has chosen north side to fulfill his legacy. But the name is Jeff Pisson instead of Jeff Passan or Passan. I just find that really funny. There's a couple of others that are floating around, but like the Jeff Passan parody accounts are coming out of the woodwork. I love it. Oh man. This last one is stupid, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
We'll do it quickly. Yeah.
There are rumors swirling around Bo Bichette. I know that Ross Atkins has already slapped them down saying they're unfounded. But that being said, you'd be hard pressed to find another player in MLB right now who has higher trade value than Bo Bichette. So,
yeah, effectively there's no shortstop market this year, so that's why his value is very high. It was some random, like, I think Cubs reporter who tweeted out that Bichette was being shopped. But the quote from Atkins was very, like, we are very fortunate to have him, and he is our shortstop moving forward. Rumors, speculation, there's usually something to them, but in our case, Bo is our shortstop moving forward. But that's a pretty good way of saying, like, yeah, you can believe rumors if you want to, but don't believe this one.
Yeah, it's bullshit, but...
yeah.
Let's just say for a second that it's not.
No.
But we're going to do it anyway. Let's just say for a second that it's not. If you trade Bo Bichette, you're going to get a king's ransom in value back.
Yeah, you would. 2 years of already locked up control. He's already got that two-year extension that he signed on the ARB. $11 million this year, 16.5 in his final year, and then he's a free agent after 2025.
So you're going. But that being said, the only place he could be traded to is a contender, and the only place that you could trade him to would have to be the National League. There's no way you would trade him within the American League. No way. So. Right off the bat, it has to be an NL contender, so that narrows it down to about five teams. So if you look at all those five teams, which one has the healthiest farm system where they would be able to pay appropriately for Bo Bichette? And you're going to need a shortstop coming back, keep in mind. You don't trade away Bo Bichette.
Yeah, because I don't think the Jays are just ready to be like, here, Elvis, you're the shortstop now.
No. He won't be. Or Elvis isn't the answer right now. He had a tremendous.
Maybe Kevin Biggio can play shortstop too. We'll just add that to the list.
No. And it's not Santiago Espinal. So no,
fuck that.
So here's the thing. There's only maybe two, three teams that could really afford the Bo Bichette trade and be able to trade back a shortstop. So the other qualifier that you have to look at is not all of these teams are have a shortstop opening.
Yeah.
So we're talking, the only team I could think that you could trade Bo Bichette to at this point is the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't think there's another team in the National League that would be able to make, well, not even Arizona. And why would Arizona make that trade? So there's really, so it's the Dodgers or nobody.
Yeah. There's no smoke to this rumor.
No. And what do the Dodgers need Bo Bichette for?
They don't.
So even though he's at his all time highest value, there's nowhere for
there's
him
no
to go.
There's no reason to trade him.
And there's no reason to trade him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If without Bo Bichette, this team loses more games.
Yeah.
What you really need to invest in is better hitting coaching. Not trading away your
best hitter.
Your best hitter, and probably if they extend him, he'll end up being an all-timer for this team. The Jays have never had a shortstop that really, like, blows the doors off the barns. And Bo Bichette does that.
Right.
Already. And he's, what, 25, 26?
Yeah.
No, there's no smoke to this. And even if we play the hypothetical game, there's only one team that he could go to. And why would they do that? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Cubs beat writer, whoever put that out there, was probably thinking, like,
give me those clicks, baby. I gotta get paid.
Give me those clicks, but also, like, oh, yeah, no, we could afford them. And because the Cubs are making all these deals, right? Yep. They're about to lose Marcus Stroman and Cody Bellinger.
Yep.
So,
and Shohei Ohtani, probably. They're gonna lose.
Yeah,
that
the rumor going around is that the offer was made for Ohtani and the Cubs are out.
Interesting. I want to know what the offers have been. I do want to know what we're talking in terms of average annual value here, but yeah, let's just wait and see what happens. Just watch. We're going to finish this episode and then like 10 minutes later, something's going to happen. That's how it always goes. So if you're listening now, hopefully Ohtani's a Blue Jay by this point in time.
I feel like it's like when you said 80-20, I started thinking about it. And the more that I think about it, I think it's more like 90-10.
Yeah. That was the floor, I think.
And I think the way you got to look at it is, do you have the money right now to do this? Yes.
Yeah.
But are you willing to wait, like, you know, take a knee for a year? No. This team has to contend now while its pitchers are in their prime rather than 2 or 3 years down the road when Ohtani joins the rotation. Like, no. Yeah. No, it's now. So you don't sign Ohtani. You sign Cody Bellinger. And maybe, just maybe, you consider Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, if the Blue Jays don't sign one of Bellinger or Ohtani, they're in some shit. Unless there's a Juan Soto trade coming. But again, Soto's only got one more year of control, so you don't want to trade him without assurances of like a contract extension.
Yeah, and if you trade to get Juan Soto, you're gonna have to pay.
Yeah, you're probably trading Aurelvis. You might be trading Tiedemann.
You are trading Aurelvis. You're going to need
But at the same time, you can make the argument that it is only 1 year. So his value is not as high as it was when the Padres went and got him. Because it is only one guaranteed year.
Okay.
So I think I still don't know what he would be worth, but I don't think you have to give up two of your top five prospects. I think it's probably one. And then a couple of other top 10s, maybe, you know? And maybe they take Santiago Espinal off our hands, you know?
They don't need a utility player.
No, though. They don't.
If they want to
they
contend
don't. They
now.
Have
they need.
Yeah.
They would probably be like, give us Ricky, give us Aurelvis, and then give us someone like Brandon Barria.
Yeah, they'd probably want some of those guys. But yeah, that's a topic for another day. We've already gone longer than we wanted to, which is typical us.
Yep.
But
sure is.
Yeah, we'll get this episode out to you guys, and then we'll be recording our hitting grades later this week, and those will be coming to you over the next couple of weeks. So you'll have 3 more weeks of BFMD for sure, and then we'll see what happens before Christmas time. We'll probably come back with a couple other quick ones as news happens. But yeah, any final words, Patrick, today?
No.
No. It's just like the Hall of Fame lightning round. We're going with a no. so that'll be it for us. If you like what we do, give us a follow on that one website where we don't know what the things are called anymore. Are they Zeets now? Are they still tweets? I don't know. But at BFMD Podcast. You can find us anywhere you listen to your podcast as well. Thanks everybody who listened to us over this year. We got our Spotify wrapped today. Numbers looked strong. Love to see it. But for Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon, and we will see you next time.